Hey, Smutters.
Hey, everybody.
That was a good one.
What's happening?
How's your week been?
Me. Nothing. Just a week.
Just a week. Mine too.
But it's almost Turkey Day.
It is. I'm kind of excited about it this year.
Gobble, gobble.
We had a good one last year, so I'm getting excited about this one.
That's good.
So,
I do have to talk about something.
What's that?
Like, if you start on one, like, not really conspiracy theory, but just one thing that's odd, like what we've been doing with Mandela effects.
Okay.
Once you go down that rabbit hole, it's hard to climb yourself out because you just keep finding more and more and more and all this stuff. It's just crazy.
It is crazy. What have you been looking at?
Well, the most recent Mandela effect, I just heard yesterday or the day before. It was never called the Diary of Anne Frank. It was called the Diary of a Young Woman or something like that.
Young girl.
Yeah. So, like, I remember it being Anne Frank.
To be fair, I'm going to try to debunk this one because I think, now the book says Anne Frank, the Diary of a Young Girl. So I think people just kind of simplified it and been like, oh, it's the Diary of Anne Frank. Because I remember when I had to read it in school or whatever, it was Diary of a Young Girl. We just made it, you know, Diary of Anne Frank because it was her diary. So I feel like that's not really a Mandela effect. I feel like that's just what people know it as.
I think you're wrong as shit.
Oh, my God.
Don't come at me.
But there have been
you're wrong.
I'm not wrong. Maybe we're just both from different universes.
Parallel, that's for damn sure.
Parallel universes. You also sent me a video.
Video?
A video. And it was about hamsters.
Yes. Wow. Mind blown.
Get ready to have your mind blown. Did y'all know that hamsters
hibernate to the point of not even really having a heartbeat, movement, anything
when you touch them?
So all these people that thrown or buried out your hamsters,
surprise.
You buried them alive, you murderers.
Surprise. Which you came back and you were like, didn't we have hamsters? And I was like, no, we had guinea pigs.
You know what, though? Where do guinea pigs come from? Or hamsters? Like, I've never seen one other than in a pet store.
That is true.
Like, where are hamsters?
I have
you
no
don't have
idea.
Hamsters running around the yard.
I don't know, but.
Calm trees or shit like that. Like,
Where
do hamsters come from?
I don't know, but
I've only ever seen one at PetSmart and Petco and places like that. I've never seen them in the wild.
I know if I saw a group of guinea pigs in the wild, because when we had ours and they moved really fast. I don't know, because when they moved really fast, it would scare me when I'd try to pick one up and they just, you know. But if I saw a ton of guinea pigs running at me, it would
remember
scare me to
remember that animal in Mexico that I kept calling to come?
Yes. Pet? Oh, my gosh, you guys.
What was it? Like a Komodo dragon or something?
No, it was not that. It was like some kind of furry, crazy. It was a cute little animal.
A distance.
Yeah, like we were like kind of close. And it was so furry and cute. And it was in a tree. And Troy's like, oh, I want to touch it.
It was far off. And then it came running towards us. And then when it got in the tree.
We saw the teeth and
the claws.
And like, Troy's like, no. Yeah, that was good times. So
that freaked me out.
That was so funny. But, like, everybody was trying to take pictures of it, and then Troy's like, oh, my gosh, that thing is deadly. But, yeah, that was...
I swear, a Komodo dragon.
It wasn't a dragon. It was a fuzzy animal.
It wasn't fuzzy.
Yes, it was.
I've got a picture of it.
Pull that picture up.
I don't know if I have it on my phone or not.
It was a fuzzy animal.
You're a fuzzy animal.
If you find it, y'all, I'm going to post it so y'all can see.
Let me go to my Mexico folder.
You have a Mexico folder?
Yeah, I got one for Jamaica and my truck and Turks and Caicos, St. Lucia.
That's Antigua. So crazy.
I got one from Miranda Kerr.
Oh my gosh. Please Zuma. Tell me you can find it though, because I would really.
No, I don't have. Yeah, well, no. I've only got two pictures on here from Mexico. Those two.
Oh. You and me, and you with a.
Jabroni.
A what?
Jabroni.
No, it's like a tribal Mexican dancer or something.
Yeah, I was on the phone on that picture.
Fun fact, y'all. When we went to Mexico, we were like walking down the busy street where all the people are that like dress up and stuff. And Troy's like on the phone with our credit card company. And I kept having to run back to him and be like, give me $20. And finally, he's like, why? I had gotten pictures taken with monkeys on my head. I'd taken a picture of him standing next to a Mexican tribal dancer. And you had to pay these people. And Troy's like, what are you doing? So we do. I forgot about the picture with the monkeys on my head.
Yeah, I don't know why they're not on my phone, though. I thought I synced them all my albums to it, but evidently not.
That's so funny. Okay.
Anywho.
It's so weird. We had a request. That is awful. So Troy sent me a video about this place, and he was like, we should do this place, and I was like, awesome. Then, after he sent it to me, we actually got a request with the same video for us to do it. So I was like, you know what? We've got to do it now. It is, we're doing Willow's Weep. And I don't know if any of you guys have heard of it. It is a haunted, majorly haunted house. And we will. Sorry, Troy's showing me memes while I'm talking. You ready to dive on in?
Dive on in.
So I have some clips that we can play. That we can play. I just hope they come through. So we're going to start with that.
Well, that's weird.
When you have locations that have this many deaths, we try to look at that. You know, we try to say, is there some type of negative or malevolent demon type entity that is pushing residents that live in this place to commit suicide?
Okay, so that was our first clip. Now, when you think of a haunted house, what do you picture?
Just a house.
Okay, do you picture a mansion like you see in movies? Do you picture like a big castle or maybe even an old farmhouse?
No.
Great. Okay.
I just kind of picture what we have, what we live in.
I think that's probably because of what we've gone through with the hauntings that we've had too, you know? Because if you don't have hauntings in your house, most of the movies you see are like these old mansions or manors, you know? So I could see where a lot of people would think that. Tonight we are talking about Willow's Weep.
Willow's Weep.
Willow's Weep is not the stereotypical house, but former residents of paranormal investigators alike have called it one of the most haunted houses in the Midwest and maybe even the United States.
Oh, yeah. I saw this last week and was like, hey, have you heard about this? Yeah. Like, yeah, that's Willow's Weep. We should talk about that. I remember that now.
Oh, okay. In the town of Cayuga, Indiana.
Where?
Cayuga.
Are you sure that's how it said?
Yeah.
Okay.
Stands a house on a quiet street. At first glance, it's a nice, normal home. The house is even named for the giant willow tree in the front yard. But the closer you look, the details become more alarming.
Back in the house after the last Estes method that I did, I stared evil dead in the face. There is evil in this house. Just be protected, be prepared, be prayed up.
I would not want to be here any longer than I was here.
There are some dark, dark, dark things that's going on in this house.
The house is located at the center of a crossroad and very close to a river, but not just any river. It's where two rivers meet. In supernatural circles and even folklore, they're known as spiritual meeting places. Many times for demons and dark spirits, water is a medium between spiritual and physical worlds. The theory suggests that by using energy found in the water, ghosts are able to create an environment where they can interact with the living. The water helps the ghosts manifest by using its energy. In folklore, crossroads may represent a location between the worlds as such a site where supernatural spirits can be contacted and paranormal events can take place. The idea of crossroads being a special location dates back to ancient Greece, where Hecate was goddess of the crossroads. Every culture has its own paranormal idea.
Like it's supernatural.
Yes, of the crossroads, and you put insert Bone Thugs and Harmony. in Norse mythology, that's where you honored Odin and left offerings. In German myths, an hour before the new year, if you go to the crossroads, you will hear who is going to die that year. In Central Africa, crossroads represent the life cycle and allows you to speak to the dead. Wherever you go, crossroads represent a place where the veil is thin between worlds and spirits can be reached. It's existed in human society for centuries on many different continents. Many believe it is also where you go to make a deal with the devil. So the water and crossroads isn't the only strange thing on the property. From the front, the house looks very cute and a nice place to live. But from above, Willow's Weep is a cross that faces the east. The entrance is located at the base, which makes it an upside down cross. Now, the history behind that is many early churches were built with the entrance at the west end, so when the second coming of Christ came, you were running towards him. The upside down cross mocks Christianity. Inside the house, it gets a little more weird. It may not be evident at first glance, but the corners of the joining rooms meet in the main living area to form a pentagram.
Pentagram.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, get it, Jen.
The house was built in the 1890s by Jesse Sykes. Not much is known about Sykes' personal life, besides the fact that he was a farmer. And back in those days, people were very religious and were even superstitious. Some believe the house was made the way it was to ward off evil lurking near the Sykes. Another theory is that the home was built on top of an ancient Native American burial ground. After the arrival of the settlers, a hex was placed on the land. Another theory suggests that the home wasn't built to ward off evil, but to attract it and even trap it. This theory makes the most sense after what happens later on. The family was originally Jesse and his wife Elizabeth. It later grew when they had a son named Annual. It is said that Annual later fathered several children with the next door neighbor Marianne Petty. Eventually, they married. Annual was described as a good man and even opened a general store in the small town. But it seemed his father, Jesse, had a darker side. You see, Jesse was charged in 1874 with incest for engaging in unlawful intercourse with the daughter of Marianne and his son, Annual. Her name was Elizabeth, after Jesse's wife. Now, buckle up, because things get more strange. One day, while going to feed the hogs, Jesse met a terrible death. Jesse was suffering from epilepsy, and apparently while feeding the hogs, he had a seizure. And when I say he was feeding the hogs, he had hundreds of hogs on his farm. Before anyone knew, he fell face first into the hog's pit. and the pigs started to eat him alive because they were starving. Jesse's wife, Elizabeth, went to check on him. The pen was so far away from the house, no one could hear his screams. When Elizabeth made it to the pen, she saw the pigs fighting over what remained of Jesse. This traumatized Elizabeth so much, she went to spend several years in a mental institution. Now I'm going to stop right there. I have always, always said, never trust a man with a pig farm.
Wow.
Because if you starve your pigs and you want to get rid of a body, they will eat through bone like it's nothing.
Not like regular pigs. Yeah. They're like those hogs from damn Hannibal Lecter.
But, y'all, that's my advice. Never trust a man with a pig farm. Because, yeah, all they have to do is starve their pigs for a few days and they will eat anything. Hello?
I'm listening.
Okay. As I said, this traumatized his wife so much that she spent the next several years in a mental institution. Now, since Jesse was dead and his mother was gone, Annual and Marianne and their six children moved into the house. Annual ran the farm and the general store, and eventually he welcomed his mother back home. But when she returned, she died of natural causes in the house. Shortly after, Annual died from a cerebral hemorrhage in the house as well, sitting in his chair. Remember that, you guys.
Just keep it on your mind.
Yeah. The house was put up for auction not long after, and a man named Robert Sandlin bought the home. Months after purchasing the property, Robert mysteriously died, which led to a court battle over the home and the rest of his belongings amongst his children. Eventually, it was settled, and the home would be purchased and sold twice in quick succession. It's not clear why the home was sold so fast, but in 1999, the home was purchased by Curtis and Cheryl, a husband and wife. Now, we don't know much about Curtis and Cheryl, their personal life, before moving to Willow's Weep, but the house tends to bring out the darkness in people. Cheryl died in the house in 2001 of suicide. Curtis stayed in the house afterwards, but wouldn't go in the back where Cheryl was found. 8 years later, Curtis passed away in the house from a self-inflicted gunshot wound. He was found a week later in the same chair that Annual had his cerebral hemorrhage. So, this got me thinking, because Curtis was found in the chair where Annual had died, right?
Yeah.
He had shot himself in the head. Annual had a cerebral hemorrhage, so I looked it up. It's where blood gets on the brain, y'all. So I feel like it's kind of the same thing. Not the same thing, but it was still blood on something that had to do with their brain. You know what I mean?
Right.
And they're both in the same chair. Now, the chair with all the blood splatter on it and everything is still in the house to this day. They never got rid of any of the furniture that was original in the house.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. You gotta admit, that was funny.
Let's see. They never removed the original furniture, as I said, and in 2010, the house was purchased again by Brenda Zimmerman.
See, that's the problem.
What?
The original furniture.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Stuff sticks to stuff.
And all of the suicides and deaths.
Like that phone case you brought back from Savannah.
Mm-hmm. That was you. So, where was I? Yes, the house was purchased again by Brenda Zimmerman, also known as Brenda Johnson. Brenda was hopeful and excited to renovate her new home for her and her son to live in. Right after she bought her new home, her excitedness went away. She started to wonder what she had gotten herself into. Brenda and her son started working on the ceiling, but things didn't feel right. Her son was removing a section of ceiling to be replaced. To replace several of the old boards, but then they flew off and hit him, and it terrorized him.
Like just randomly flew?
Yeah.
My name is Brenda Johnson, and I bought this house about 7 years ago. When I bought it, we went in and started working on it. Then all kinds of things start happening. Saws going across the floor. 2x4 flew off the wall, hit my son in the mouth. The floor was buckled, so we took the floating wood floor up, and we found a book in the corner of the door in between the floors that said how to communicate with the spirit world.
In some of these cases, people will be drawn to locations subconsciously, and I think there's energies that actually influence people to buy properties, but there's a danger to come to these places because you just don't know what's going to take place.
Okay, so yes, you heard it. They found a book on necromancy when they were pulling all the old boards up. So necromancy, look that up for me real quick, because I don't want to give the wrong definition.
This is where you bring dead people back to life. Okay, I'll look it up, but that's what it is.
Well, that's what I thought it was too, but I heard on another podcast that that's not what it was. So I wanted to be 100%.
The supposed practice of communicating with the dead, especially in order to predict the future. Sorcery or black magic in general.
Okay, so it's not like raising the dead, it's communicating with the dead. So,
well, you can, and then revived as a zombie by a necromancer.
Okay, so there's that. Now, which on the podcast I was listening to, they brought up a good point. They were like, so necromancy could be playing the Ouija board.
You know, there's a how-to guide to become a necromancer on here.
Seriously.
3 qualifications.
What are they?
You've got to go through 5 levels of necromancy to see, hear, smell, taste, and touch death.
Ooh.
An applicant needs to have a mentor's stamp of approval, and they must have had a near-death experience.
Okay. How do you get the stamp of approval?
I don't know. I guess we can look at this website and find out.
Oh my goodness. There's a
career in it.
A career in necromancy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's payments.
You can get paid for it?
Yeah.
This is up there with the werewolf hunter.
Operations, tools, materials, workplace.
Workplace?
Mm-hmm. Ooh, there's a summer camp.
Shut your face right now. Listen to Ashlyn to it. Ashlyn, you're going to necromancy camp. Yay.
Sounds like the damn Adam family
stuff. Right? Okay. So, after all that happened, Brenda decided to hire a maintenance worker. And the worker helped with the renovations and did the task that they didn't know how to do. But while working, he found... Are you ready for this?
What?
A human bone on the property. They weren't 100% on what they were looking at, so Brenda took it to a friend who was a police officer. The bone was old, and they said that she could get rid of it or bury it back where she found it. Like most of the area's residents, the officer had heard of the burial grounds and didn't want to push his luck by further disturbing the graves. Brenda decided to research where the bone came from, and the result sent a chill up her spine. Brenda reached out to one of the living previous owners, who told her about a story that she had heard. The story was about a former tenant and her children around the 1940s. The woman moved in with her 2 children. One was a 6-year-old girl. The other was a teenage boy. Some of the locals were concerned about the children because they had heard stories about their mother. She went through 3 different husbands, and each one had died of mysterious circumstances or poisoning. But nothing else was really known about her. Her children were a different story. One day, the little girl went missing, and no one could ever find her, and no one has any idea where she could be. There were no signs of her, almost like she had vanished into thin air. As a result, her older brother, either due to the grief of losing his little sister or the torment within the house, or maybe even both, he sadly hung himself in the house. That is where Brenda believes the bone came from, and she thinks the little girl died and her mother buried her on the property. The bone was identified eventually, and you know what it said?
What?
It was an arm bone that belonged to a young child.
Oh.
This discovery was paired with strange paranormal activity. Brenda was scratched, showing 6 claw marks more than once. Doors and cabinets would open and slam shut. They would hear intense banging inside the wall. Oh, I almost read what you wrote. Oh my gosh. Intense banging inside the walls and under the floors. Again, more than once. At this point, she is starting to believe the stories she had heard about her new home. Oh my God, stop writing in my notes.
Surprise!
It makes her wonder if she can continue to own the property. She was worried she would end up like one of the previous owners, but she didn't want to give the curse to anyone else. By this point, Brenda has moved out, and she is telling her friends about it. Oh my, how many times did you write orgy in my notes? How many times?
Surprise!
So Brenda's out and she's telling all of her friends, you know, just having a chit chat with her friends, talking about just venting, talking about what's wrong with the house. What is she going to do about it? Because, you know, she can't sell it to someone else because it's just going to put the curse on them. And she doesn't want to do that. So what does she do? Now, eventually word gets out about the dark past of the house and even the experiences that Brenda and others have endured. Eventually, it captures the attention of a local national paranormal investigator. They wanted to experience Willow's Week for themselves, and one investigator named David Spinks, who's been involved in several high-profile cases. He contacts Brenda and investigates the home. In his first night, he captures more EVPs or electronic voice phenomenon than any other prior investigation. This intrigues David. He is desperate to know what is going on with his house. He goes back to the house for a follow-up investigation. Let's see. Oh, I forgot to play this.
Uh-oh.
And I forgot to put the sound on.
Can't really say that it's just one certain person in there, because I don't believe it is. I believe there's multiple people in there. There is a demon or something in here. This thing got in my face, and it's that demon in there on that wall. If you notice, behind that is a cross where a cross is hung, and he had burnt himself right into that cross. It was him marking his territory.
There's much speculation about this strange burn mark on the wall. Some say one of the kids that used to live here was not acting right and did this. Brenda said the cross was here. There was a cross that hung here when she bought the place. And she said that she had come in one day. The cross was crumpled on the floor, melted, and this mark was left. Many say that it resembles the goat head or the symbol for the devil, you know, a demonic goat type head. I don't know.
Okay, so we have that. And I'll post a picture of the burn mark that's on the wall so you can see that. So as soon as David and his colleagues enter the house, they're struck with dread. They get terrible headaches and they all step outside and they all talk with Brenda. Brenda said she will never go back inside because that house is a one-story portal to hell. And I did see where many people were saying that the living room, the center part of the pentagram that they're saying is the actual portal to hell. Spinks then offers to buy Willow's Week from Brenda so he can continue to investigate with his team. The deal was finalized in 2019, and he has wrote several books about the house, and he even did a movie on the house. I believe the movie is on the History Channel. Now, the clips that I was playing were from the movie. And you can get, I think, like the first 10 minutes on YouTube. You can find that. And let's see. I want to see where you can watch the Willows Weep movie for sure. So I can let you guys know. Because it's hard to get information on this house now that he's kind of taken everything over. And the books that he's written. Ooh. Let's see here. Scare Network TV, it looks like. What is that?
What?
Scare Network TV.
I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Now, I know that was a TikTok video. I started following them on TikTok. The documentary, it's a documentary. It doesn't really say where to watch it other than the History Channel. Which, the History Channel plays some weird-ass shit now.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, if it's after a certain time, it starts talking about aliens and all kinds of stuff. So, yeah, it says the History Channel show The Unexplained, hosted by William Shatner, called it the most haunted house in Northern America. It is considered to be the most evil house in America, and paranormal activity runs rampant on this property. I've seen The Unexplained. I haven't seen that one yet. So look up the David Spinks documentary. It's S-P-I-N-K-S. And I'm sure you can probably pay to watch it on YouTube, or you can watch it wherever it says. So that is Willow's Weep. Now, I looked up to see if there were any like personal experiences with Willow's Weep, and I did not find many, but I did find a story about it. So I love my Reddit. Reddit's wonderful. Which Ashlyn's like, Reddit is gross, stay off of it. But yeah, I absolutely love Reddit because I get so much from it. So this is a weird story about Willow's Weep.
Where is that at again?
It's in Indiana, Cayuga, Indiana. It starts out, so this is a very strange story, but I'll try to cut right to the chase and not bother with the nitty-gritty details. My mom got into paranormal investigations after she went to some paranormal powwow in my hometown when I was about 12. She continued to actually start a team and do paranormal investigations in the Midwest. Her team was called Wisteria Paranormal. Maybe some of you are familiar. Also, I'm loving this person's mom. She just went for it, didn't she? Okay. Anyways, I was about 14 years old, and my mom had an investigation at this place called Willow's Weep, somewhere in Indiana. I remember she was super excited about it, and it was actually going to be a two-night investigation, which was huge for her team. She left Friday afternoon and was to return Sunday morning. She leaves, and I'm home alone for the weekend, which was normal for her investigation weekends. So Sunday rolls around, and I always would stay up late and wait for her to come home so she can tell me about any experiences she had. I was always very enthusiastic about her stories. She pulls up to the house around 2 a.m. and is completely drained. She does very little talking and almost looks as if she is ill. I'm not kidding when I say I don't think she had more than 3 words to me to say to me that morning. After unpacking, she goes to her room to sleep and closes the door behind her. Really unusual for my mom, and I think nothing of it, and decide to go to the kitchen for something to eat before hitting the hay. But when I walked into the kitchen, I almost shat bricks.
Ooh.
I know. And I love how they use, like, the proper past tense of shitting. They use shat. There were perfectly circular puddles of water everywhere. I mean, literally everywhere. They varied in size, but they were perfectly round, all of them. I went down the hallway, and there were petals in the hall, too. I went ahead and checked the living room, and there was one huge petal directly in the center of the room. I was pretty frightened, so I went to my mom's room to tell her, but her door was locked, which was super weird. She never locked her door. I even tried to bang on the door, but she didn't answer. She must have been passed out cold. I decided to just sleep on it and catch her in the morning to show her. The next morning, all the petals were gone. Mom is cooking breakfast. I asked her if she had seen the petals, and she told me she had absolutely no idea what I was talking about. She said the floors were completely dry when she woke up. To this day, I have absolutely no idea what happened that night. The weirdest thing that has ever happened to me. So, what do you think?
I have no idea. I don't necessarily think it's a portal to hell.
Well, this is like after she came back to their house from being at Willow's Weep. Let's see. She later told me that it was a poor investigation, not a lot of evidence, and one of her cameramen had a family emergency, which explained her reaction when she came home. She did believe me about the petals, but since she never saw them or recorded them, there was not a whole lot she could do about it. As a matter of fact, I'm quite sure she didn't even mention it to her team, which might lead me to believe she didn't take me too seriously. As far as the authenticity of her investigations, I can't speak much to that. I'm not sure if what she was doing with her team matched up to professional standards, but from the evidence that she and her team produced, I'd say that they at least stayed in point in keeping things kosher. And then somebody commented after that, I think she lied. But yeah, that's the story. That's the only story that I could find about Willow's Weep. But as I said, y'all know that I always listen to different podcasts about the shows I'm wanting to do to see if there's anything I'm missing. And one podcast went on to say, because the house is named after the giant weeping willow in the front yard. So, they said that, like, each time someone tried to cut the weeping willow down, some kind of tragedy happened in the house. You know?
Those are pretty trees. I like those trees.
I love weeping willow trees. They're gorgeous. But yes, I will definitely post pictures. I'll post a picture of the chair that had the two tragedies. That's the weirdest looking cat I've ever seen.
Are you
looking? Yeah. The headshot victim and the hemorrhage victim in them. I will post that chair. I'll post as many as I can. I'd like to do a bunch of inside the house pictures, because I did post one picture as a hint of what we were doing as the overhead shot of the house of the upside down cross. So we do have that. We do need to find where we can watch that documentary, though.
Where's it at?
We were just talking about that.
I know, but where's it at?
It's on the History Channel. Can you try to find, just like type in, like, where you can watch the Willow's Weep documentary? Because I really want to be able to tell y'all, because I feel like tonight's episode wasn't very long, but as I said, there's just not a lot of information that you can go through. And I feel like the documentary probably has all of it. So, anything?
No, not yet.
No?
No.
Well, shoot.
No, I didn't pull anything up.
Okay. Alright, y'all. Just go to YouTube and watch that and try the History Channel, because it is...
Why wouldn't it pull anything up, though?
I don't know. That's gonna drive me crazy.
Drive me crazy. I'm out of control.
That song doesn't go that way at all. Where to watch... That's not how you spell it. Willow's Weep. Documentary. Okay. It's saying Scare Network TV.
I don't know what that is. I've never heard of it.
I haven't either. But like I said, I follow it on TikTok. Also, you can follow us now on TikTok, guys, if we haven't said anything. TikTok. Let's see. TikTok. It's showing on YouTube. I think Scare Network TV is part of YouTube. And you can actually watch the full documentary. It's out now. And that's all it is showing. That keeps coming up. So... also, you can look some stuff up on TikTok. It'll show a bunch of stuff. Because I'm pretty sure that's like the new TV for everybody now. So, there's that. And also, you can watch The Unexplained that has the William Shatner episode on there about it. So, tonight's story was short. I hope you guys enjoyed it, though, because this house is nothing to play with. What do you think?
No, it's definitely nothing to play with. I don't know so much about a portal to hell, though.
Well, what interested me in this was the fact that they thought it was a trap to hold all the ghosts and demons inside of it, you know?
Like the Ghostbuster firehouse.
Kind of.
The containment chamber.
The containment chamber. But it also made me think of on Supernatural when they would question demons and they'd have them inside that devil's trap. I feel like it's kind of like a devil's trap and it's just holding them all in there. That's what it reminded me of.
I see.
So... anyway, well, that is everything, you guys. Do you have anything you need to add?
No, I'm good. I'm good for the evening.
All right, you guys. Sorry the episodes have been coming out kind of late. Troy and I, we have been so tired to record on Saturday night, so it's just started coming out later on Sundays. But they're still coming out on Sundays.
I'm actually tired right now.
Are you?
Yes, like I could probably go to bed.
Okay.
It sucks.
Yeah, I hate being tired all the time. We should do cocaine about it.
Energy drinks don't work
anymore. And they do not work. They are like water to us now. Yeah. All right, you guys. It is starting to get cooler, so layer up. Drink lots of water.
Have a great Thanksgiving.
Yes, have a very happy Thanksgiving. And make good choices. We'll see you guys
on Black Friday weekend.
Yes, Black Friday weekend. Bye, y'all.
Bye. Carmen Brah.